All right, well, good morning, Grace Gospel Church. All of you joining us on Facebook Live, I am so glad that you have chosen to spend some of your Sunday morning with us right here at Grace Gospel Church. If you don't know who I am, as Pastor Patrick said, my name is Troy. I'm the youth and young adult pastor here at Grace, and I'm really excited for today. I'm excited to have the opportunity to share with you this morning. But before we get into all that, I do have something. A little bit of news, something that may come as a bit of a shock to some of you. And that news is that a long time ago, church, like congregations, like people, we used to actually like meet at the building. Like we used to meet together as a church, like we would meet at a building a long time ago. And I miss those times. I know it's hard to believe. And now we give all these like little elbow nudges to each other rather than shaking hands. I actually forget how to shake hands now that we haven't done that in so long, and it's just been a while. But seriously, like it has been a little over a month, if you can believe it or not. It's been a month since we have been together here at the church building. The last time we were together was Sunday, March 15th, and since then we have had some really cool, some really good online services, as many of you have been able to join with us, and we so appreciate that you have been able to join us for that, particularly over the last 2 weeks. We have had our Palm Sunday service two Sundays ago, and then later that week, we had our Good Friday service. We had a great time just reflecting on what our Lord has done, and then, of course, last Sunday with our Easter service, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if you were unable to view any of those services, we do invite you to tune in to them on YouTube. They're all up on our YouTube page. If you missed them, I highly recommend that you go and check it out. So now we find ourselves, as Pastor Patrick mentioned, we are now post-Easter. We're kind of in this weird time. We're still dealing with this strange situation that we find ourselves in. And, you know, what that really means is that maybe last week you weren't in your pajamas watching because, you know, it was Easter, so you had to dress up. But this week, you certainly are in your pajamas today, and that's okay with me. And we have the opportunity, as Pastor Patrick said, to start and begin a brand new series today. And when we're beginning this brand new series, you know, I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about this series and what it's going to bring as we do study our Lord Jesus. We study what he has done. We talk about what he has done. We get to know him better. And we even look at it through his own words. And so I'm really excited for us to be able to kick that off this morning. So our series is I Am Jesus in His Own Words. And so over the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking through the book of John. We're going to be studying and identifying these seven statements that Jesus made, these seven I am statements that Jesus made throughout the book of John. You know, it's interesting. So this is the man in Jesus who we just celebrated last week. We've been celebrating it for a while now. And, you know, we celebrate what he did on the cross. And so now we get the opportunity to do a series that is all about him, solely focused on the person and work of Jesus. And that's what we get to do for the next few weeks. And so it's an exciting time in our church. It's an exciting time to tune in with us on Facebook Live. And so that actually reminds me of a conversation that my dad had with a coworker of his a few years ago. And I still remember it to this day, and I think it relates well to what we're talking about this morning. And so my dad and his coworker was not a believer. He was not a Christian at the time, but he began to tune in to some Christian radio stations, most notably K-Love. He began to tune into that, and he had a conversation with my dad about it. And I still remember, like I said, he said, well, you know, I really enjoy the music. It's good music. Like, you know, the beats are good. Everything's good. The words are good. The lyrics are good. All of that, but he said, there's one thing about it. There's one thing about this Christian music. There's one thing about these radio stations. Again, this is coming from a non-believer that kind of was a little weird to him. He said, well, all the songs are about one person. It's all about one person. He couldn't necessarily comprehend why it was like that, why it was all about one person. And my dad's response was, well, yeah, you're right. It is all about one person, and it is all about Jesus, and that's how we're supposed to be as Christians, because Christianity is all about Jesus. You know, and that's why I love our mission statement here at Grace Gospel Church. It's to exalt Christ, to lift him up, and to point other people to him. You know, that's exactly what our mission is. That's exactly what we're called to do. You know, and so over these next few weeks, we have the opportunity, again, to know Christ better. We have the opportunity to understand how specifically we can live out our mission statement, how we are to exalt him, and we can do that by knowing him in a better way. Because that's what it's all about. That's what our faith is all about in Jesus. And so today we wanted to, again, set the foundation before we fully dive into these I am statements of Jesus. We wanted to talk about first who Jesus is, to identify what we know about him and to really truly fixate our minds on the person and work of Jesus before we get into these statements that he made about himself. We want to look first and foremost at the word. We want to look and see what that says about him. And so again, we're coming off of this Easter celebration, and we celebrate the fact that Jesus came here on a rescue mission, that he came, he lived a perfect and sinless life, that he died on a cross, a death that we all deserved, and then he rose again 3 days later, conquering sin, conquering the grave, conquering death for us, for you and for me. He did that so that our relationship with God could be mended. He bridged the gap between us and God. And so with all that being said, and again, we recognize that, especially during this season, what Jesus has done for us, but don't you think it's important that we get to know a little something about this Jesus person? Don't you think it's important that we get to know Jesus better and then make him known? That we develop a personal relationship, that we grow even in a personal relationship with our Savior. So that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to look at the most influential, life-changing, life-giving, and world-altering person that has ever walked the earth. And that person is Jesus Christ. So we have the opportunity to look at what he says about himself in the book of John. But right now, we're going to look in other areas of God's word and what it says about him. Again, he's the most influential, life-changing, life-giving, and world-altering, world-changing person that has ever lived. So let's start in the beginning. Let's go to John 1, verse 1. John 1, verse 1 says this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." So again, this is the beginning, right? And so in the very first verse of the book of John, there are three huge statements that are made. There are three profound statements that are made here, and we're going to break them down piece by piece. The first one is this: in the beginning was the Word. All right, so that's pretty easy to get. So the Word has always existed. It was there in the beginning. It was there before time. Secondly, moving on from that statement, building off of that statement, and the Word was with God. The Word has always existed, and the Word was with God in the very beginning of the world. So we see an interpersonal relationship that the Word has with God. The Word was with God. Lastly, the final statement, the final profound statement in this verse that we see is that the Word was in fact God. So the Word has always existed. The Word had an interpersonal relationship with God, and to top it off, the Word was in fact God. So look at what John 1 verse 14 says. If you skip down a few verses, John 1 14 says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." All right, so here's what we know about Jesus, right? So the Word became flesh. We know Jesus. We know that that's what we celebrate. He took on flesh. He dwelt among us. So the Word was with God. The Word had a relationship with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was, in fact, Jesus. This points ultimately to the deity of Jesus Christ, that he took on flesh while being fully God and fully man, God incarnate. So this should be, this has to be our basis understanding of who Jesus is. You know, we're going to do a series on Jesus over these next few weeks, and this has to be our starting point. It has to be our starting point. And then to finish out the rest of that passage, John 1, 2 through 5, it says, "He was in the beginning with God." So Jesus was in the beginning with God. "All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So he was in the beginning of creation with God the Father, and everything else came into existence through him. The entire universe created by God. So again, a study on the person and work of Jesus, we must begin here. He took on flesh while becoming, or he took on flesh while being fully God at the same time. And the reason that he came to do that, again, was last week, he came on a rescue mission for us. And if that truth isn't our foundational understanding of who Jesus is, if that's not where we begin, then we are off, right? So we must begin here. So let's go a little deeper. Again, we're going to look at the life of Jesus, look at what he did, some of the traits, some of the characteristics that he possessed, some of the things that made Jesus who he was. And this morning, we're going to look at that in ultimately four different areas, four different characteristics, four different traits that in ways that ultimately Jesus made an impact. All right, so the first area that we're going to look at is Jesus' influence. So Jesus' influence, he was a tremendously influential human being. All right, and so if you read any of the scripture, you know any of the stories in the scripture, he would always have large crowds following him, right? He would always have people coming to hear him speak, people coming to be healed, people coming for all sorts of different reasons. He attracted a following. That's what we know about Jesus' influence. He had 12 disciples even who literally dropped everything they were doing, dropped everything that was going on, dropped everything in the world around them to follow Jesus. They made a commitment to Jesus, and you don't do that unless you have a tremendous influence. Jesus had a tremendous influence. And so following the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, we see the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is really the beginning of the early church. And the early church, they were given a task and a responsibility. And we're going to look at what that responsibility is. And it reads this: "The first account I compose, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen." So again, this is following Jesus' ascension. His apostles are tasked with the continuance and the furtherance of the truth of the gospel message. They are tasked with living out Jesus. They are tasked with pointing other people to him. And then this, again, is at the very beginning of the church. They've been given, had by the Holy Spirit, Jesus had given orders by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And again, there wasn't like an if or a but statement attached to this. This is their calling no matter what. So regardless of the persecution that they were to face, regardless of the trials that were to come along with this, regardless of who was going to oppose them, no, they were called solely to live out Jesus and to point other people to him, to continue to preach what he did for us, even after Jesus had left the earth. And really, this statement made in Acts and the calling that we have is really similar as the church today and even the church at the beginning. Because you see, we're tasked with representing Jesus to this entire world, right? We're his representatives here on earth. We're designed, if we are in the body of Christ, we're designed to point other people to him. Again, that's why I love our mission of exalting Christ and pointing others to him. Ray Stedman had this to say about the book of Acts. He said, "God uses incarnation." So what's incarnation? He defines it: his life manifested through human life as his strategy to change the world. Jesus' strategy to change the world. The book of Acts is the record of men and women possessed by Jesus Christ and manifesting his life every day. So do you know what that is? That's influence. That's the influence, that's the effect of Jesus on the early church. That men and women were possessed so greatly, so influenced by what he did, by the impact that he had on their life, they were determined to live him out every single day. Jesus was the most influential person that has ever walked the earth. The next area that we're going to look at is Jesus' life-changing ability. Jesus brought life change. He literally had the ability to change the trajectory, to change the path of someone's life. He literally had the ability to heal And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about this from a physical standpoint, because Jesus could change lives and still does change lives in a number of different ways. But we're going to look at what he did physically during his earthly ministry. So the book of John includes 7 miracles, 8 including his own resurrection. And these miracles solely point to Christ's deity. They all ultimately to lead people to a true faith in God. That's the point of the signs and wonders of Jesus, to point others to God, to have a saving faith ultimately in Jesus. And so if you will, we're going to look at a life-changing miracle that Jesus performed during his earthly ministry. And it's also in the book of John. So if you will, you can turn there. It's not going to be on the screen. But you can turn with me to John chapter 4. And we're going to pick up in verse 46. It says this: "Therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." Verse 48, "So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe.' The royal official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son lives.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was indeed living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him.'" Verse 53, "So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.' And he himself believed, and his whole household believed." This is, again, a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So we see here this physical healing, right? We see a physical healing, a miracle that Jesus was able to perform. And oh, by the way, he performs this without even being near the child that was sick. He's able to heal him even from a distance. And he wasn't even present. And then I love what it says. So this official, his son was sick and dying. He was dying. The official then returns home and he finds out that his child was in fact healed. So that's a physical life change that Jesus was able to bring. But there's more in that passage. So sticking with that same passage, that's not the only thing. That's not the only significant thing that happens there. That's not the only significant change that happens in this passage. Look again at verse 53. "So the father knew it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, 'Your son lives.'" The end of verse 53. "And he himself believed, and his whole household." So again, we see this official in this setting. He makes the connection that it was in fact Jesus that had healed my son. And then it's this statement: "He himself believed, and his whole household." He heard Jesus' words. He acted on it. He believed. And now he had seen the result. He had seen that Jesus was in fact who he says he is. That Jesus is literally, truly the one who's able to give life. He's able to change life through his word. And then this man's faith, it spreads, right? It says all his household believed. They believed based on the testimony that this man had about Jesus. You know, it's really a perfect illustration of how Jesus' miracles, has his signs and wonders are supposed to be received, how they're supposed to work. You see, there again, the point of these signs and miracles is to lead people to a faith ultimately in Jesus Christ, the saving faith, right? To give life. So not only does Jesus change lives physically, but he is able to give life. Jesus is life-giving. And another life-giving example, similar to this one, is what took place on the cross. So as we know, Jesus was crucified between two criminals. And look at this conversation that he has with one of them. And I'm going to read it real quick. Luke 23, verse 42. He was saying, "Jesus, remember me." This is the criminal speaking to Jesus while on the cross. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." So again, we see the ability that Jesus has to not only change lives, but to give life and give life abundantly. He gave life to someone who is hopeless. He gave life to someone who, again, is about to die. And yet Jesus provided the spiritual healing because this man believed, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Healing to a man in desperate need of it. As Jesus is breathing his final breaths even, he provides salvation. He's able to change life and give life, even by his word. The final area that we are going to look at this morning is again, another area where Jesus made an impact. And it might be even a summary of all of the three prior ones combined. And it's the fact that Jesus changed the world. Jesus was the most world-altering person that has ever walked the earth. The first way that he did that is how he came. All right, so he came as a humble servant. Look at what Philippians 2, 5 to 8 says. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." Verse 7, "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And so I think it's safe to say that this mindset, this attitude that we see in Jesus is just a little bit different than that of the world that we currently live in. Wouldn't you say that? Yeah, this is a whole different concept. This is like game-changing to come as a king that Jesus was, to live a blameless and sinless and perfect life that he did, and yet he did not come to be served by others. He came to serve us. And remember, if you are in Christ, if you are his representatives here on earth, then that means you are tasked with the very same thing, that Jesus, to live as Jesus lived and to serve as Jesus served. Matthew 20, 28 says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Again, that's a very different mindset that we see that Jesus has and is very different from the one the world that we live in possesses. You know, sometimes in the world we see, okay, well, what's in it for me? What can I gain from this? How can we exchange? You know, what would be a fair exchange that we can make? But Jesus says, no, I'm here to serve. Even though he was perfect, even though he was sinless, it was different from what the rest of the world and the way the rest of the world lives. And yet the Son of God laid down his life for us, for you and for me, and for the entire world. That's pretty world-altering, world-changing, game-changing. He literally changed the landscape of history. He changed everything by offering himself as a servant for us to ultimately die for us. Literally nothing else compares to this. Nothing else compares to this selfless act that Jesus performed, that Jesus did for us, taking our place on the cross, taking our sin, taking our shame. Literally nothing else in the world can even compare to that. Nothing compares to this selfless act of Jesus. It's the most selfless act that the world has ever seen and will ever see. He did it for the entire world so that believing in him, believing in what he's done, you can have eternal life. He changed the world. Jesus is the most influential, life-changing, life-giving, and world-altering person that has ever lived. You know, and I really think that 2 Corinthians 5 sums this up, sums even all of these points into one passage. So if you will turn to 2 Corinthians 5, We're going to be reading verses 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, not counting our trespasses against us. And he committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so let's break that down a bit. And see just how these four characteristics, these four things that sum up the way that Jesus lived, the things that he did here on earth, how those fit into this passage. So look at this. If anyone is in Christ, back to the beginning, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, new things have come. What's that? That's life change, right? Life change that only Jesus can bring, life change that only he can provide. And ultimately, it's a new life. It's Jesus giving us life that only he can give. Skip down a little bit. God reconciled the world to himself through Christ and not counting anything against us. So it was reconciliation that God provided through Jesus for the entire world. Right, so it alters the landscape of history. It changes the whole world. It changes the game. It changes everything what Jesus did for us. Because it wasn't just for me. It wasn't just for you. It was for the sins of the entire world. And then look at verse 20. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. That verse right there shows us the influence that Jesus has, that now we are responsible with the carrying out of the gospel if we are in Christ. That we are his ambassadors, his representatives. And again, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world says. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what happens or what goes wrong or what is thrown our way. It literally doesn't matter, because if you are living out Christ, if you are representing him, if you are truly being his ambassador and being an accurate representation of who Jesus is, no matter what else is going on, then you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Then you are living out the calling that God has placed on your life. And again, Jesus is the most influential, life-changing, life-giving, and world-altering person that has ever lived. Don't you think that it would be a good idea to know him? Don't you think it would be a good idea to have a relationship with him? I mean, like, really know him. I mean, really a personal relationship with him every single day. Not just going to him when you need something, not just going to him when you need to pray, not just picking your Bible up the shelf once in a while, but literally having an everyday personal relationship with him. A personal, genuine, real, authentic relationship with the Savior of the world. So we've already talked about why that's important, why it's important to have a relationship with God, and it's all based on these four things that Jesus did that describe his character, that describe what he's done for us. And so if you can't tell, I'm pretty excited for this series. I think it's going to be awesome, and we have the opportunity again to look at Jesus, to study the person of Jesus, the work of Jesus, and what he's done for us. Because again, it's not just about celebrating him during Easter. It's about a lifelong relationship that we are called to have with the Savior of the world. You know, that's the key, that we need to look at what God's word says about him. Because I think too often we come up with our own thing, our own picture, our own illustration of who Jesus is to us, who Jesus is to me personally. But really, why don't we just look at the word of God and go from there? What the word of God says about Jesus is the truth that we need to stand on. You know, and so you might be thinking in here like, well, you know, I know Jesus. I know a few things about him. I'm a Christian. But if we claim as a church to know Jesus on a personal level, then we need to make sure that we know about him as well. Not just know him for the good that he brings us, but to personally have a relationship with him where we know Jesus. You know, we need to learn and grow when it comes to our knowledge of Jesus. We need to grow in that every single day, even reflecting on and truly understanding what he says about himself. Because we're going to look at that over these next few weeks. These seven I am statements that Jesus made in the book of John, we're going to look at that and break that down and talk about what it means and then even apply it to our own lives and what that looks like. Because we need to understand who he is and who he says he is if we are going to be an accurate representation of Jesus. And so my challenge for you this morning is to really make this personal and take this series, take this study that we are going to enter into, take it personally. You know, what influence, so these four statements, what influence does Jesus have on you? What influence has he had on you? And what influence is he in your life right now? How has he changed your life? How has he given you new life, or has he given you new life? And what does that look like in comparison to the way that you maybe used to live? How is life differently now that you have Jesus? And then lastly, all that we've talked about this morning about how Jesus has really, truly changed the world. And think about that and ponder on that. How has Jesus changed the world, and what is my role in that now in the body of Christ? You know, it's often said in the church, and you know, I've said it even here this morning a few times, that we are called to represent Jesus. We're his ambassadors. And so my challenge even with that is to go a little deeper than just the surface level when it comes to being his representative. You know, go deeper than the surface. Get out of your comfort zone and truly seek to represent Jesus the way that you should. So again, our series is I Am, Jesus in his own words. And I'm thrilled to begin this series. I'm looking forward to the rest of the few weeks that are to come. And I hope you will continue to join us and study the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you just for this brand new series. As we study the Son of God, as we study the Savior of the world, Lord, and we think about what you've done, we think about everything that you have done for us, even these four traits, these four things, that ways that you impacted the world. Lord, that you were the most influential person that's ever lived, that you changed the world, that you brought life change to people, that you gave life to people through the ministry of reconciliation, that you literally saved us, Lord, and that you altered the world by that fact, that you changed the landscape of history, that you changed everything for our good. And the fact that you came as a servant, Lord, let us never grow tired of hearing that you came on a rescue mission for us, you came to serve us ultimately, Lord, and now we have the task, we have the privilege of representing you to this world. Lord, and so I pray that over this series that we will be connected and in tune with that message, Lord, that we will truly seek to better our relationship with you, and we can better our relationship with you by understanding, by having a better grasp on who you are and who and what the word says about you. And then also what you say about yourself.